Shields up, red alert. Spoilers decloaking off the starboard bow. Yeah, that was a warning.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard,
normal,
or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Roger that.
Do re mi fa sol la ti
do do ti la so fa mi re do.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. My name is Angela, and my song is by Cory Morrow. Oh, Angela, can you ever feel the way I do for you? And I am an anomaly.
I'm Jen, and my song is by Tommy Two Tones. Jenny, I've got your number. I need to make you mine. Jenny, don't change your number. 867-5309. Why are we singing songs about our names? Today, we're talking about Firefly Janestown.
Janestown.
In which Jane gets a song.
He does.
In a crappy town where he's a hero.
Yes, the crappy town where he's a hero. Is that like the most famous line?
Yeah, I think
so. The whole episode. I also wanted to do a shout out today to, we don't do very much news, but I am very excited for our friends who do go to Texas Renaissance Festival. They're doing a lot of updates, and I've been watching them on... Sorry. Am I too loud or too...
No, you need to face the mic.
Oh, sorry. They've been doing a lot of updates, and so I just want to encourage everyone who is excited about Texas Renaissance Festival. They've been doing so many cool renovations. They've, like, more than doubled the size of their campgrounds, and they're doing a lot of cool stuff to a lot of the venues, and I'm really excited about it. I don't really mean to be an advertisement for Texas Renaissance Festival, but, you know, I think it's cool, so they're amazing. And they always have specials running, too.
Not to bring down the tone of the podcast, but Sally Ride passed away. And I am planning a tribute episode to her, so that is coming in the near future.
We even have found a couple people who knew her that we're going to maybe get some statements from.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you had really wanted to get a hold of her, and I guess it explains now why...
Why she wouldn't do the interview. She found out she had cancer about 17 months ago, and that was about the same time
when
I was asking for interviews, and I was told that she couldn't. No other explanation, and I totally understand. It's just heartbreaking because she was my hero as a child, and I was probably about 6 years old when she went into space, and at that time I realized that I could do anything. And just because I was a girl didn't mean I couldn't do things like that, so...
Of course not.
Yeah. Enough of that.
No, I know. It is sad, and also, I mean, just this has kind of been a theme ever since my situation happened, but, you know, cancer is just really crummy.
Yeah.
Annoying. And I hate it. Sucks. Anyway.
It does.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. You can say sucks.
But I get very excited, I tend to just say what I feel like saying. And sometimes it's like I'm from the street. I'm from the block.
Angela from the block.
That's like not at all me. That makes it hilarious. I'm not. No. Oh, there's another song about Jenny.
Yeah.
Just Jenny from the block. Okay.
Okay.
We need to stop this.
Moving right along.
Our episode today is about the Firefly episode, Janestown. And
we'll get to it after these messages.
And we'll get it right. We will get to the meat of the episode right after this.
Yeah.
Right, ready, miss? Now, scream into this. Now.
What, now?
Yes, there's no moment to lose.
I can't. It's silly.
No, please.
Oh, don't
Father!
No!
What's the matter, Victoria?
Please,
she got dreams up!
Oh, no! Oh, Victoria!
We're in a miniscope.
Miniscope?
Yes, you know, Joe, it's like, roll up, roll up, roll up, and see these funny little creatures in the native habitat. Watch them go through their funny little tricks. Poke them with a stick and make them jump.
Under the Miniscope, a Doctor Who fan podcast from Andrew and Sarah Gilbertson.
Rose is coming back. Isn't that good?
No! No!
Incidentally, Happy Christmas to all of you at home.
Is it only the first three?
Yes.
Did they die in order?
You know, I think they did.
That would scare me if I was Tom Baker.
You're improving.
Am I really?
It's entirely due to my influence, of course. You mustn't take any credit.
In a sci-fi story, it's usually a quick starter. Something's going on. The Doctor shows up. He steps out of TARDIS. He's like this whirlwind of manic energy, like, oh, hello, what? That's an interesting, pretty little thing. I wonder what this does. Oh, you've got a problem with your galvatronic stabilizer. Everyone's like, who are you? He's like, I'm the Doctor. Come on, this way.
Who by?
By whom?
Oh, and it's Fesh. Jaggerfesh.
I call him Max. Alonzo. And now, introducing the Sixth Doctor.
My dear fellow, I'm a VIP.
Join us for Under the Miniscope, a weekly Doctor Who podcast in bite-sized chunks.
When you've seen the ages that I've seen, you won't use that term quite so freely. Anyway, I don't think it's been all that long.
From the husband and wife team of Andrew.
They should have locked you in a padded cell.
And Sarah.
And you took her down with you.
Gilbertson. Come check us out weekly at www.nolinecinemas.com.
James.
Mr. Tomorrow.
The man they call James. He robbed from the rich and he gave to the poor. Stood up to the man and he gave him what for. Our love for him now ain't hard to explain.
The hero of Canton, the man they call James.
Our Jane saw the mutter's backs breaking. He saw the mutter's lament. And he saw the magistrate taking every dollar and leaving 5 cents. So he said, you can't do that to my people. He said, can't crush them under your heel.
Yeah, Mel.
Jane strapped on his hat.
You got any light you'd like to shed on this development? No, Mel.
No. This must be what going mad feels like.
Now here is what separates heroes from common folk like you and I. The man they called Jane, he turned round his plane and let that money hit the sky.
Oh, thank God, that's where that cash went. I stole that money from Higgins, like the song says. Lifted me one of his hovercraft. I got tagged by anti-aircraft, started losing altitude, had to dump them strong boxes. Stay airborne. Oh. And I drop it right square in the middle of Mud Farmer Central.
We gotta go to the crappy town where I'm a hero.
The hero of Camden. And I've said this before, but doing this is very so much like writing a paper for grad school.
It is a lot like
that. It is exactly like that. Well, welcome back. We're here talking about Janestown. And you know what I just realized? Firefly is almost 10 years old. Next year it will be. Is that nuts?
It is nuts.
And I started realizing that the characters are kind of starting to show that.
Especially when they show up in other television shows.
Yes, everybody looks a little more mature.
And it's except horrible. For Nora, it's horrible. It's horrible to judge them too, because we don't look the same as we did 10 years ago either.
I was just going to say that. I feel a little sad about that.
10 years.
That's a long time.
That's a lot of times.
The coolest thing about Janestown that people always remember is Wash's famous line of, what is it, Jen?
When do we get to go to the crappy town where I'm the hero?
And I really love how at the beginning, you know, before your first break, you get Jane kind of wrapping himself in that tape. And then the face he makes when Mal's like, I don't know why we're arguing about this. It's already been decided. He rips that tape off and then he just goes, he doesn't scream.
It was like justice because he had torn up the sick bay looking for tape. And isn't that just like a man?
Yes, just it is just say, like a man to not ask.
Being married to men, we should know.
What happened in here?
Need to find some tape.
So you had to tear my infirmary apart?
Apparently.
My God, you're like a trained ape without the training.
Well, the ones that we're married to would do something like that.
Yeah, tear up the whole thing. But it's Jane. It's kind of a Jane thing to do. Basically what happened is they go to this town where they're trying to make a trade. And in the midst of going there, Jane is worried because he put himself into disguise because he messed up the last time he was in this particular town. And so he's worried about getting recognized because he thinks everybody hates him for whatever he did. But instead, the tables are turned and they find a statue of him, which is another hilarious part of the show.
They're all admiring the statue like they're in an art museum or something. And I love how Callie says, his eyes follow me everywhere I go.
His eyes follow me. And I just love the look on all of their faces. This is when I wish it was a video podcast, because like all of them just have this like look of awe and disbelief in their on their faces.
Maybe I'll put a screenshot in the show notes.
Jay?
Yeah?
You want to tell me how come there's a statue of you here looking at me like I owe him something?
Wishing I could, Captain.
No, seriously. Jane, you want to tell me?
No, I got no rotten idea. I was here a few years back, like I said. Pulled a second story, stole a lot of scratch from the magistrate up on the hill. But things went way south. I had to hightail it. They don't put you on a pedestal in town square for that.
Yeah, except I'm looking at some fair compelling evidence says they do.
This must be what going mad feels like.
I think they captured him, though. You know, captured his essence.
He looks sort of angry, don't he?
It's kind of what I meant.
It's just so funny. I mean, just the whole premise of it, the whole idea that Jane could be a hero somewhere, because Jane is very much not.
No.
He's more of an anti-hero than Mal, and Mal is the official anti-hero. Mm-hmm. Jane's not even that.
No. But the cool thing about it is that he doesn't want to be the hero. And the only time he really starts getting into it is when he gets a little liquor in him.
Well, that's true, but that's more for the fact that he's getting something. You know, it's a very Jane
praise
thing to be like, oh, well, yeah, I'm awesome. Okay. And he gets girls and he gets people telling him how awesome he is. So, of course, he's cool with
but
that.
But it took him a while to get to that point.
So the magistrate, he let you folks keep all that cash?
He did. And it pained him, that's for dead sure. When he found out, he sent his prods in to take it back from us, but the workers resisted.
Fought the law, huh?
If the Mudders are together on a thing, there's too many of us to be put down. So in the end, he just called it a bonus.
It's one hell of a bonus.
And then, when we put that statue of you in Town Square, he rolled in, wanted to tear it down, but the whole town rioted.
You guys had a riot? On account of me? My very own riot?
I can't believe you're back.
How can I stay away?
Also, we get more into the relationship between Kaylee and Simon. Also mm-hmm. very interesting. I like it because it's just so cute and Kaylee's so cute. What can I say? And they have a cute play together.
The only time he really would speak to her the way she wanted him to when he was a little drunk himself, and he tells her how pretty she is. Mm. And then later in the episode, she asks, why does he feel like he has to be so appropriate with her? Why can't he just tell her what he wants to tell her? And he says that his manner is the only thing he has. The way he speaks to her and the respect he shows her is his way of telling her or showing her that he likes her.
You gotta be steely. You can't be letting men stomp on you so much.
That wasn't exactly a plan.
We ain't weak. You couldn't beat him back? Or would that not be appropriate?
You're never letting go of that, are you?
Well, you confound me some is all. I mean, you like me well enough, and we get along, and then you go all stiff.
I didn't...
See, you're doing it right now. What's so damn important about being proper? You don't mean nothing out here in the black.
It means more out here. It's all I have. I mean, my way of being polite, or however, it's the only way I have of showing you that I like you. Of showing respect.
So when we made love last night...
When we what?
You really are such an easy mark.
That's kind of the way I am. It reminds me of my mother-in-law and my father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, I called them Mr. and Mrs. Rhodes. They never asked me to call them by their first names. They always asked me to call them Mom and Dad, and I couldn't do that because I have a mom and dad. But I felt really sad at the end of my mother-in-law's life that I think it was in her mind that I didn't like them or wasn't comfortable around them because they always called them by Mr. and Mrs. In my family, that's how you respect people. Mm-hmm. And until they asked me to call them by their first names, I wasn't going to do that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the formality got in the way of being closer, I think, in some ways. And I saw that, you know, in this episode between Kaylee and Simon.
Aw, I thought this was going to be a cute part, and you made it sad and serious.
Dang.
No, I agree. I mean, I think it's important. I mean, I think it's important to note. The thing is that what I noticed watching the episode in general is that Joss Whedon does not do anything on accident. There is definitely whimsy in the things that he does, but I don't think he does anything just because. I think there's always a purpose to every little thing that happens in an episode.
Yeah.
That's why I found this viewing, and I almost feel bad because I'm feeling so academic watching it this time, and we are going to get more into this after the break. I just enjoy, as I get further away from it, watching these episodes again and seeing how Joss really can massage a story. Mm-hmm. And how he can take 40 minutes of sci-fi television and create art out of it. And this isn't even one of the best episodes. And that's what's awesome about it. Yeah. Is that there's so much depth in an episode that one halfway decent episode of those 14 is more depth than some shows get in years. And yeah. I'm constantly amazed by that. So,
and we always sing his praises, and I think Casey called him, and rightfully so, the patron saint of anomaly.
What?
Joss Whedon.
He would hate that because I think he might be an atheist. And,
I think so too.
No, maybe
I think
he wouldn't.
He's just a really good story weaver.
He is. And I think that it's because he's organized. If you're not already hooked by all the brevity, then we're going to talk more about symbolism when we come back.
Sound, the final frontier.
These are the episodes of the podcast All Things Trek.
Our continuing mission to discuss strange Trek topics.
To seek out new thoughts and new Star Trek ideas.
To boldly rage where no one has raged before.
Tune in every week for the All Things Trek podcast, where we talk about everything related to Star Trek, from my favorite episodes to why Neelix should have been kicked off the ship in Voyager's first episode. Look for us at allthingstrek.com and on iTunes. Until then, remember, resistance is futile.
Do you like a good story, fun conversation, and maybe a bit of inspiration? You're listening to this podcast, so I'll bet you do. I'm Randy, and if so, when you've finished here, come check out my podcast, Stories of the Magic. Okay, it's not really my podcast. I'm just the host. This show is really about the guests I have on. Stories of the Magic is a positive and story-filled Disney podcast offering stories from cast members, Imagineers, artists, actors, and more. We celebrate the Disney magic, tell unique stories, and inspire people to live their dreams just as Walt Disney did. So if you love Disney, enjoy great stories from real people, or both, give us a listen. You can find Stories of the Magic on iTunes or at storiesofthemagic.com. You'll be glad you did.
To shoot stuff, and he don't give a damn what you think. He spends his days turning wrenches and his nights chasing wenches, and he'll happily kick in your teeth. Oh, he'll happily kick in your teeth. Well, he comes from St. Joe, where he grew up with his mom, lots of fish and this drunk Mexican. And then he hopped a few trains just to ride off his pains. Now he's doing the best that he can. Oh, he's doing the best that he can. He's too proud to live and too dumb to die. The Lord knows that his mama tried. And he's always meant well while he's going to hell. But it's good to have Jane on your side. Oh, it's good to have Jane on your side. He steals what he needs from the big companies, and he don't fight for honor nor fame. A night out with his gun is his idea of fun, and he thinks all you mutters are lame. Oh, he thinks all you mutters are lame. How his mama tried. And he's always meant well, but he's going to hell. Still, it's good to have Jane on your side. Oh, it's good to have Jane on your side. He rolls with the Satans, but he don't do much hating. He don't need a lot from this world, just a little more clutch and some vittles and such, and just one night with some pretty girl. Oh, some trim from some fine looking girl. Oh, he's too proud to live and too dumb to die. Lord knows how his mama she tried. And he's always meant well while he's going to hell. But it's good to have Jane on your side. He's tough, and he likes to shoot stuff, and he don't give a damn what you think. Spends his days turning wrenches and his nights chasing wenches, and he'll happily kick in your teeth. Oh, he'll happily kick in your teeth.
You should sing that.
Well, we're back, and we're talking about Janestown, Firefly, Joss Whedon, the patron saint of anomaly. Do we need a girl saint as well?
We probably should.
Who should be our girl saint? Please submit your girl your saint applications to girlygeeks at gmail.com. Anyway, there was a through line, a darn through line. At the very end of the episode, Jen looked at me and you said what?
I said, I think the whole theme of this episode was faith.
And I said, I think the theme of the whole episode was about symbols. And I think we're both right.
Mm-hmm.
What was your first instinct as far as thinking that it was about faith?
It started when Shepard and River were together. They were on the Serenity and everybody else was in the crappy town. River was taking apart Shepard's Bible and telling him that she needed to fix it because it was broken. And she was in her crazy mode. And he's standing there not wanting to freak her out too much, but saying, River, that's my Bible. And she was like, it's broken, you know, I'm fixing it. She was saying it doesn't make sense. And he said, it's not about making sense. It's about faith. She said, well, I need to fix it. And he said, you don't fix faith. Faith fixes you. And that was what I noticed throughout the episode, different times when faith fixed people.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily like a religious faith, but faith in a person or themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And for Shepard, obviously, it was his faith in God.
That symbol ties into it because even later in that same tone, River hands Book back his Bible pages and says, here, you can have your symbols back. Another part of the story is Inara goes mm-hmm. to a job in the same town where she is supposed to deflower the magistrate's son.
To make him a man.
To make him a man. And she, one, stands up to the father mm-hmm. in front of the son, which I think he finds very interesting. He likes the idea of people standing up to his father because his father is obviously very domineering and he's trying to make a man out of his son by basically hiring him a whore. And that's not cool. I mean, but Inara is able to turn that idea kind of on its ear mm-hmm. and say, thank you for your money. Thank you for the job. Please leave. Mm-hmm. And I love that because she doesn't really break stride. She just, okay, leave. Okay, leave. Yeah, you're going. Bye. And when the deed is done, he's like, well, I thought I'd feel different. And she says, it's not supposed to make you feel different. It's just a symbol. How you feel now is a symbol of yourself as well.
I just thought I'd feel different after. Aren't I supposed to be a man now?
A man is just a boy who's old enough to ask that question. Our time together, it's a ritual, a symbol that means something to your father. I hope it was not entirely forgettable for you.
Well, no, it was.
But it doesn't make you a man. You do that yourself.
I don't know. I really enjoyed that idea. And I think that the biggest symbol, which they don't call to attention, but of course there's a giant statue of Jane in the middle of the town. I mean, if that's not a symbol, I don't know what is. But then to your point, basically this idea, and this goes for the son and for the Mutters, they had faith in Jane,
mm-hmm.
you know, that Jane would be in their mind. It didn't matter who he is. It matters what they thought he was.
Yeah.
No good with words, don't use them much myself. But I want to thank y'all for being here and thinking so much of me. As far as I see it, you people have been given the shortest end of the stick ever been offered a human soul in this crap hill verse. But you took that end. And you... Well, you took it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
And that's... Well, I guess that's something. Yeah.
Wow. That didn't sound half bad.
I'm shocked my own self.
They had faith that someone would protect them against the magistrate. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think that's interesting.
When he's talking to Mal about the boy or the guy who threw himself in front of the shotgun blast, why would he do that, Mal? And Mal tells him, it's not about you. It's about them and needing to believe in something.
Yeah.
He was what they needed to stand up to the master who was holding them down.
So basically the guy who sacrificed himself saved that. He didn't save Jane.
No.
He saved all of them. And they can keep some of their beliefs, regardless of what Jane said.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to be considered a hero. He knocked down the statue. Going into this, I was thinking of this as kind of a very light episode. Because it is kind of funny.
It's a funny episode.
And it continues to be funny. I mean, it's not an unfunny episode, but it does get into these kind of issues and...
Yeah, the surface is humor and right underneath is a serious through line.
Uh-huh. I would even say, because we're obviously Star Trek people, remember First Contact when they talk about Zefram Cochran and Geordi's telling him about, well, this is where the statue of you is going to be, you know, pointing towards the future. And Zefram Cochran is like, screw that. I'm going to take a piss. Yeah. You know, sorry. But the whole point in general is that the people that they make statues of are just people. Yeah. And they have faults and they have arguments and they don't do everything perfect. That's not the point. The point is what they symbolize to everyone else. It did give the Mutters hope. I don't know. It's an interesting conversation. Something to bring up, I guess.
Would you want to talk about some of the...
Simon talking about proper etiquette. Mm-hmm. And Kaylee says, what's so damn important about being proper? Etiquette is a symbol. It is a symbol of propriety and beauty and grace. And sometimes, you know, in a harsh world, you need those pretenses.
Yeah.
I don't know. The dressing up and the high tees and the putting on gloves. You need those things in order to have, a measure of civility.
For him, it was honor.
Yeah.
And that's one of the points he was trying to make about why he needed it so much. Because she was like, drop it. You don't need it in the black. That's not the way we operate here. And he's like, but I need it even more out there.
Yeah.
Because it's all I have. Basically, his honor is all he has left. I don't know. It kind of reminds me of where we're from. Here, men open the door for women. Mm-hmm. Men offer their chair to women. Younger people should offer their chairs to older people. I mean, that's the way most of us were raised here, at least me being from a small town. My dad takes his hat off when a funeral procession goes by.
Yes.
That's honorable. I don't think it demeans us at all to have a man open the door for us. It's a respect thing. And we would do the same, you know, for an older person or something like that. Or a man opens the door for me, I say thank you. I always make a point of saying thank you. I had a guy at a bus stop offer me an umbrella, just like in the song. One time when I was in college, that was awesome. I'm going to make it a point to teach my son those things. Mm-hmm. The things that I saw my dad do. Because I think it's important, and a lot of people don't teach that anymore. It's chivalry, in a way.
I also think that when it comes down to this kind of stuff, if you don't have propriety, then you have nothing to rebel against. If you don't know where all the lines are, if you don't know where the rules are...
You don't know where to step over.
Then how do you know what you're stepping over? So it's like rules and lines and propriety are a gift to the people who want to throw it in your face. I know that sounds ridiculous.
No, it
makes
sense to me.
But I feel like it's important. You have to learn the rules so you know when you can break them.
Exactly.
And I feel like it all kind of goes together.
The humor in this episode, we should talk about that. Because, like
we
were saying...
We tried at the beginning, but we did not do a very good job. I like when Jane tries to pinch...
Zoe. She was like... That was hilarious. She was told about the situation on the moon... that they were visiting and how everybody was hero worshiping Jane, and she couldn't believe it because she was still on the ship. Mm-hmm. When she drives into town with Wash, she's like, pinch me. It's Jane. open and he goes, shoot, I'll pinch you.
Probably won't get those fingers back, cowboy.
That was a good scene. What were some others that you can remember? Oh my gosh. When Shepherd's hair.
Oh.
He takes his hair down and River is coming back into the room to give him back his Bible saying, I broke your symbols and now they're just paper and I want to put them back. She was attempting to apologize for ruining his Bible and she looks up at him and his hair is doing this Medusa thing. This wild, white, kinky hair going everywhere. And she screams and takes off running and Zoe sees it, and even Zoe's like, wow, dude. Whoa. I just thought that was funny. And then River is hiding in, I think, the shuttle bay or whatever they call it on the Serenity. And she's mumbling things like, it's not good for his brain, and it can't be put back.
It'll still be there.
It'll still be there.
River? Please, why don't you come on out?
No, can't. Too much hair.
Is that it?
Hell yes, preacher. If I didn't have stuff to get done, I'd be in there with her.
It's the rules of my order. Like the book, it symbolizes...
River, honey, he's putting the hair away now.
Doesn't matter. It'll still be there, waiting.
I still think, too, that, like, most of the acting was done in dumbstruck awe because first they see the statue and they stand there for a while and then they're in the bar. The guy starts playing the Jane song and all of them are just sitting around the table staring at each other like, huh? Simon says, this must be what going crazy feels like. No, this is what going crazy feels like. It's awesome.
All the acting is really good across the board as far as the main cast goes and maybe the guest stars. But the extras in the episode, except for maybe the guy who takes the bullet for Jane, the extras, pretty crappy.
Well, I mean, extras
like,
are extras.
Just like when they're dancing to the music or getting down with the Jane song, which we need to have included in this episode since we, you know, sang the Jane song and the Angela song. And they must not have actually played the music while the people
were... Yeah, some of them were off. But I liked it, though. I think it
made it cheesier.
Yeah, it made it fun.
It made it fun.
All right. And we have a few more things that we're going to talk about right after this.
The Jane song used in this episode was courtesy of Marion Call. It was written by Justin Boot and performed by Marion. You can find this and other great music by Marion Call at marioncall.com. That's MarianCall.com. For those of you who attend Dragon Con, this year Sue will be there and she'll be on several of the panels. This is her Dragon Con 2012 schedule. The first panel is called Have We Met Before? Friday at 10 o'clock a.m., American Sci-Fi Media Track, Marriott, A704. Did your favorite show die too soon? Or maybe there's a show that everyone gave up on, but it's great now. Share with us your hidden treasures. The next panel is Geek TV, Friday at 5:30 p.m., American Sci-Fi Media Track, Marriott, A704. We're infiltrating the mainstream. Discussions about Big Bang Theory, Community, and all the rest of the places were popping up. The next panel is called Manimal and Friends, Quickly Canceled Sci-Fi TV, Sunday at 5:30 p.m., American Sci-Fi Classics Track, Marriott A703. Show the love for one season sci-fi wonders that came on a few minutes, then poof, they're gone. Manimal, sweet Manimal. The last panel she'll be appearing on is called Captain Hammer Will Save Us, Monday at 1 p.m., Whedon Universe Track, Weston International D. A look at false heroes in the Whedon Universe. For a quick reference, you can find the schedule on our Anomaly blog, posted August 21st, 2012. We hope you attend the panels and have fun at Dragon Con. And don't forget to say hi to Sue. Thank you.
Angela and Jen want to hear from you. Call 432-363-4742 and leave them a message.
I was walking towards the door to Evans, and there was this guy literally sprinting. Like, he definitely had somewhere to go. I was just walking, and I happened to reach the door at the same time as this dude. He was obviously in a hurry. He stops, opens the door, lets me walk through, and then he goes through and keeps running. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. And I never, like, saw him again or anything like that. But it was just like, at that age, I think it was 18 or 19, I was like, well, that's nice. It just makes you feel...
I know. Well, the umbrella thing was really awesome. Yeah. And if I wasn't married at the time, I probably would have been very into that guy. And also, there was one on the bus, on a crowded bus. Everybody's holding on to the bars and, you know, in the aisle and stuff, trying to hang on. And it comes to a stop. I get on. It's crowded. I was going to have to squeeze my way past all these people hanging onto the bars. And this one guy stands up and offers me his chair.
Oh, that's cool.
The majority of the people that are in college are young, mm-hmm. and they're probably coming from bigger towns,
mm-hmm.
like Dallas, which there are a lot of people from Dallas and San Antonio that listen to this show. Shout out.
Hello.
And Austin. But anyway, I just noticed that the small town people are the ones I think that more often do that. And you know what really shocked me? Jeffrey, he started offering us seats or opening the doors for us, because it was in my mind that only Southerners were polite in that way, because I had never met anyone from up north that was like that.
I had just gotten married when he started working with us,
mm-hmm.
and I would stand at the door and wait for him to open it, because I was just, I know that sounds ridiculous, but
hello.
I remember doing that, and I remember noticing myself doing it, and I was like, is that rude? Whatever.
To Jeffrey?
Yeah.
Jeffrey's Angela's boss.
He's my boss. But I'm a lady, sort of. So they tell me.
He's from Ohio, so I wouldn't really... It's Midwest.
I think Ohio's like right in the middle.
Yeah.
But I know it's where they stop serving ranch dressing. You have to ask for it.
Very big deal in Texas.
It is! Ranch dressing's a huge deal. You have it with everything.
As is iced tea.
All right. Well, we're back, sort of.
This is where we kind of draw things together and talk about what we're
exactly what we're doing.
And we talk about what's coming next.
Oh, boy, that's so exciting. Okay, I have one question for everyone. This is probably what I should have done from the beginning. Sorry.
It's okay.
Because I want to look at you.
Yes,
when I
know.
The one question I have is, what do we think the symbolism is of the guy with one eye? Or is it just because it was grotesque and it made him look cooler as a bad guy?
Question. Well, he was supposed to look like an animal, like a total wild animal. Mm-hmm. When they drug him out of that box that he was kept in, it was Jane's partner. When Jane stole the money from the master that ran this moon where they had all this mud and crap that they were selling, he stole the money from him. He had a partner, and the ship, when they were taking off, was too heavy. So they were ditching everything to lighten the load, and it ended up he kicked his partner out before he dumped the strong box. And so that was part of the reason why he wanted to kill Jane. But they captured him after he landed on the ground and kept him in a sweat box for 4 years. And his hair was all long and shaggy and his beard, and he had no eye because he must have landed on it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the significance of
that is. Yeah, he was like a wild animal.
Mm-hmm. Also, have you noticed that in Firefly, a lot of the time, the real bad guy is the most well-dressed, the most...
Yeah. I did notice
coiffed, you know, in Shindig, that's the case too. You get the impression that the cleaner someone is, you know, because really the guy with no eye was a kind of a pawn. You even get the impression that maybe before all this happened to him, he wasn't even as bad as Jane. And so he's kind of a pawn in all of this, whereas the magistrate is the guy who's pretty and clean and well-kept, and he's the one who's the biggest jerk on the whole moon.
Yeah, if you like this episode and you like Firefly, we do have another episode you might be interested in.
Two.
Do we?
Oh, we may need to put it up.
Yeah.
It's in the archives?
No, it should be in the archive. I know Shindig. We did an episode on Shindig.
And Out of Gas.
And Out of Gas, yes. So those are on
the
website.
Which is right after Janestown, I think.
Is it?
In the Mm-hmm. If you watch the whole DVD mm-hmm. or all the DVDs or whatever, if you watch the full season.
Yeah.
This is Janestown, the Native cast.
So. Yeah. Well, there, if you go to the website, click on Listen Now, there's a drop down menu under Listen Now, and it's a archive. And there, it's like a jump menu on the archive page. And I think I have Firefly listed. It'll
and
take you right down
anomaly
to
Anomaly of Gas.
Yes. The Anomaly of Gas. The Anomaly of thing is your naming scheme that we've just kept up.
But it's hilarious. Sassy. Okay, also, if you haven't had a chance, I don't know how long it's going to take to do this, but I did pose a question on Facebook today, and it's August 2nd that we're recording, but I'm sure it'll be a couple weeks before we post. Anyway, if you have a chance, I posted a question regarding which two superpowers would you have? And the stipulation is that one has to be offensive and one has to be defensive, or one is passive and one is an active. So there you go. What was yours, Jen?
Mine was regeneration as a defensive power. And
like Wolverine?
Yes.
Okay.
And the other was superhuman intelligence, because you could do virtually anything with that. You can create a super weapon. You can outsmart your foes. You can create traps for them. You can hack computers.
Who was your basis for this? Or did you just kind of think of it?
Batman's, I mean, he doesn't have superhuman intelligence, but intelligence is one of his powers, and so is Iron Man, because they just have suits that they use as a power. And there are others that relied on their intelligence to get to the point where they were at. Like, I think Jim was mentioning Spider-Man.
Yeah.
His spidey senses heightened his intelligence.
Oh.
And David Banner was a scientist who became the Incredible Hulk because of...
Which reminds me, you need to see The Avengers so we can talk about it.
I know. I'm a horrible geek. I am.
I know you're a mother too, but I went and saw it. My mom went and saw it with me.
I know, but you have family that lives nearby. My family's a long ways away.
I know, but we have our new person that can watch him.
You're right.
Shout out. We don't know if she wants to be mentioned on the podcast, but we'll say yay to her. Oh, I didn't say mine. Mine is shooting fire from my hands, even though that's a dark power, I know. But still, shooting fire, burn things, or bale fire, which is a Wheel of Time thing, which would be cool. And also seeing spells, which sounds like it would be kind of boring, but if you're in a world where magic exists... Then you could see if someone was impersonating someone else, or you could see a spell being cast. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a good defensive power to have, especially if you think about it in terms of a group. Like, I think it would be different if you were, if you're group building as opposed to being like a rogue superhero with super strength or superpowers. I think you'd have different types of powers, but I think the powers I picked, because of the nature of why I did it, it's about being in a group. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Anyway, so that's what I would pick.
I like it. And it was all based on a dream you had.
It was all based on a dream I had.
Of all of us, but you don't remember our powers.
I don't remember y'all's powers. I just remember my own.
That's funny.
What? It was kind of a long time ago. It was just something I just thought
something
about.
Else. I mean, we're talking about posts that are on our Facebook group page. We have a Facebook fan page.
Yes, we do.
Which we just post updates to, but the group page is where all the cool stuff's happening.
Yes.
You should definitely try to join that.
Go and join it. We will just click you. It's an open group, so you can ask to join. And I think that you can look at it, but you can't participate until you join the group. So we have almost 150, which is actually good, because last year at this time, I think we had like 73. So we've almost doubled the size of the group just in the last year, which I think is very cool.
Yeah.
And that's just where everything's happening. I don't know how that happened.
No, yeah, nobody wants to do anything on our
but
fan
page. But a lot
page.
Of people, the other funny thing is I think that there's people that participate that don't even listen to the show. But
I noticed
it's
that.
It's just a... Place.
Well, I know for a fact that I have a handful of geeky family members that are on there.
And we have a handful of geeky friends that we just randomly invited, and they just participated.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
And also, did we announce on our last show about Patrick Stewart?
I don't think so.
Well, I'm going to Comic-Con, and so is Jen.
Austin Comic-Con.
And I bought tickets to have a meet and greet with Patrick Stewart. So I'm very excited, and we're hoping to get as much stuff from him as possible, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And... that's going to be very, very exciting. I don't know if we're going to dress up or what we're going to do about that yet, but I'm going to cross that bridge when I get to it.
I thought we we're getting our shirts with the anomaly.
Well, yes, but I'm talking about cosplay. I'm not talking about that. Oh,
it definitely has to be Star Trek. Well, because you and I bought uniform patterns, and they have not been made
once
yet.
Once upon a time. Ooh, the other thing that reminds me is I just heard, did you hear about this, that The Hobbit is going to be 3 movies?
Yes.
I don't know about that.
You don't think it will work?
Okay, Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, is like 150,000 pages long. And it's really 3 books. It's 3 stories.
Yes.
The Hobbit
is 1 story.
And you know how short it is? I read it.
And you don't like to read.
I read it like 15 years ago, and I hate reading. So that tells you something about it. I'm just saying.
Well, that probably means you're going to add a lot of stuff to it.
But on the other hand, there is a lot of support material in the Silmarillion and in other notes that Tolkien, wrote. So I'm sure there are some things they can do. I really do enjoy that world, and I don't care. Oh, also, what was the other thing?
Oh, I didn't know if you wanted to mention this or not. We talked
won't say
about
when, because we're not, because we're just going to do a small group.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Just a handful of our media friends thinking about it.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, we're thinking about it. So if people want to do it at the same time as us, but they don't.
I'm thinking of something totally different. That's something else then.
Oh,
We're going to have a Hobbit feast.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I wasn't thinking about that, but now we are.
Oh,
we're both thinking about it.
We're going to have a Hobbit feast.
We are, because we wanted to go to the Draft House because they in Austin. It's too expensive. It would have been awesome. They start in the morning and they begin with Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring. And during that movie, they serve you breakfast, second breakfast.
And elevensies.
And then they play The Two Towers. And they serve you lunch.
Afternoon tea.
And then they play The Return of the King. And you get
dinner
and supper and probably dessert. We're going to do the same thing here, in your home. And we're coming up with a menu.
Yes.
So if you have suggestions for our Hobbit feast,
please let us know.
So far, we've come up with
Conies. Yes, the rabbits.
Rabbit.
I'm going to do a super duper breakfast, so I'm excited about that.
And I'm doing tea.
Yes.
You've assigned David the responsibility of the meat.
Of some sort of meat.
Yes. But during this,
we still have to make the notes.
We're also talking about doing impressions of our favorite scenes or characters or whatever, things like that, to supplement the movie that we've seen 40 billion times.
That's right.
That may end up in our feed eventually. Probably next month, we're doing an episode on Futurama.
Yes! And, so excited!
And Futurama and how it ties into a specific Star Trek episode?
Well,
or
no, it's actually part of a new series that we're thinking about doing called Deja Vu TV. As much sci-fi as all of us watch, we know that there's certain things that happen in every sci-fi TV show, especially if it runs for a long time. For instance, mind-reading episodes. Body switching episodes. Episodes where somebody dies, but they're not really dead. Episodes where people die and they're really dead. Joss Whedon. And things like that. The first one that I thought of was there's an episode of Futurama called Teenage Leela's Mutant Ninja Hurdle. Something like that. Anyway, it's a funny episode. And it's 4th season. And what happens is by some freak accident, all of the characters revert to their teenage selves or to 15 years younger. And it reminded me of the Star Trek TNG episode Rascals, where Ro, Picard, Guinan, and
Keiko
all become have a transporter accident and they become children. And so obviously it's the same premise. So we're going to talk about both episodes and how they're alike and different. And if you have any ideas, then
for other episodes of any shows,
we've already, Jim and I have talked about a couple of Stargate episodes that are like TNG. We're probably going to do more TNG episodes than anything else.
Yeah.
But if you think of any others, we'd be happy to watch, one episode of something.
Yeah, especially if it's on Netflix, because that makes it easier for us to watch it and see what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Deja Vu TV, new thing.
New
so
anomaly
excited.
Series, mini series that we're doing.
Yes.
We've done other series in the past, but we've only got a couple of episodes in it so far. Like
okay.
The Worst of Trek that we did.
Worst of Trek is awesome.
That's an ongoing thing. We'll do more of those.
I know, but we have to do another one that does not involve Beverly having some sort of pleasure.
You said pleasure.
I know, I hate it. That's why I say it, because it's so horrible. You know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
Okay.
Okay, and then I should mention that Anomaly Supplemental will be doing an episode on our favorite cartoons, and I'll be joining them on that episode. I don't know if you are or not.
I may submit a comment.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Gummy bear. Okay. That's enough. I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast,
where female and fandom converge.
You are feeling very, very sleepy. And what you really want to do is go to anomalypodcast.com, click on donate, and help support your favorite podcast. We like stars. All the stars in the sky. Especially the stars you give us on iTunes. To us, you are the biggest star in the cosmos. Go to iTunes and give us a rating. Thanks.
You can hear Anomaly on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, iPad, Android phone, BlackBerry or Palm phones, on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You can also catch the latest episodes of our favorite shows on Stitcher. Podcasts like Take Him With You, Tales from the Mouse House, Waffle On, Upper Memory Block, Treks in Sci-Fi, Ladies of Leet, and much more.
Visit AnomalyPodcast.com. That's AnomalyPodcast.com.
Music by Kevin.